We take a tour inside the largest cruise ship to sail Alaska waters, and birders react to the sighting of an ibis in Haines and Klawock. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. An unusual bird was spotted in two separate southeast towns on the same day last week. The ibises were a rare treat that has left bird experts scratching their heads, wondering why these southern birds have landed in Alaska. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Words like flabbergasted and astonishing came up when birders described hearing about the ibis sightings last week. The large, long-legged wading birds are not native to Alaska. According to bird experts, its northernmost boundary is the southern Canadian border. There's never been a recorded sighting in Alaska before now. Andy Piston is a biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Ketchikan. And while his professional focus is fish, he's been studying birds in Southeast for two decades. He says if you saw an ibis, you'd know it.
You'd definitely notice it's distinctive. You know, it's a heron-sized bird, and it's got a big, long, down-curved bill. And in the right light, their plumage can look really glossy and kind of iridescent looking.
And according to the Audubon Society, they sound a little something like this. Or like this. The first glimpses happened last Thursday, one in Haines and one in Klawock on Prince of Wales Island. Bird enthusiast Jason Collins snapped a photo and posted a description of the encounter online. He wrote that he saw it in the early evening feeding in a grassy mudflat. He said its body shape and long curved beak were dead giveaways that it was an ibis. After a little research, he deduced that it was a white-faced ibis. Colin's friend Amy Courtney runs Icy Strait birding tours out of Hoonah. She says when he sent her the photo of the bird, she knew what it was right away.
And it was definitely an ibis, and I was just really kind of flipping out inside. I didn't realize that it would be the first Alaska record, but I knew it was going to be really rare.
Biologist Piston says the overlapping sightings are indeed the first recorded in the state.
I guess the bottom line is trying to say what caused that is pretty difficult. People would want to say it's related to the warm winter and spring, but you know, it could be something unrelated down south that just caused more ibis to be in the Pacific Northwest and a couple to stray up here.
Haines bird expert Pam Randles said an ibis was also spotted on Friday and again on Sunday in Haines. She says she's been fielding calls from interested parties across the state that want to come to Haines to see it, but alas, it hasn't been spotted since Sunday. Randall says big changes have been happening in the bird community over the last 5 years or so, and vagrants and oddities are becoming more common. Longtime Juneau birder Gus Van Vliet agrees that perhaps something is afoot with the species, but he says it also might be that more people are paying attention to feathered friends around them.
Yeah, it's hard to know whether the pace has picked up over the last 5, 10, 15 years, or whether there's just more observers, more birders, more interested people, and just more coverage, you know, sort of like rod hours for fishing for salmon. You know, the more hours you spend, the higher the probability of catching something like that. And that might be the case for these vagrants as well.
Van Vliet said there are two main kinds of ibises in North America, the glossy ibis in the east and the white-faced ibis in the west.
And it could be just a one-off event, and never to be duplicated for the next century, or it could be shades of things to come.
According to the Audubon Field Guide, they breed mostly in California, Nevada, and southern Oregon, and dabble in the Midwest. It says they are, quote, climate endangered, and that their northernmost range is indeed along the Canadian border. There have been recorded sightings in British Columbia, though not many. One account posted recently on the Haines Birders Facebook page says a group of three ibises was seen at Picture Point also last week. But whether these birds will stick around or even be seen again is anybody's guess. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The biggest cruise ship to sail Alaska waters made its first stop in Skagway this week. The Explorer of the Seas carries nearly 5,000 people. KHNS took a tour of the floating city.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everyone, and welcome aboard the explorer of the seas for this.
Rick Sullivan is the explorer's captain.
It's not just welcoming the ship, but it is also welcoming the largest cruise ship that has ever been to Skagway. That is history today. And thank you for increasing the length of the dock so we could fit here.
The explorer tied up at the end of the railroad dock, right behind another massive ship, the Celebrity Millennium. White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad had to build some additional infrastructure to accommodate the 1,000-foot-long explorer. Tyler Rose works for White Pass.
You know, we have a new mooring dolphin. We've done some other things for this, and just the sheer volume that comes with it.
Deck 11.
So what's inside such a colossal ship? Well, if you've ever wondered where you can find a shopping mall, ice skating rink, rock climbing wall, and casino all in one place, floating on the ocean, this is it.
So this is one of our other entertainment venues.
Miriam Palomalis is our tour guide. She leads representatives from Skagway's government, White Pass, and the National Park Service through a gleaming shop-lined hall. It's called the Royal Promenade.
The Royal Promenade, as you can see, we have like a lot of stores. Like you have like the sensation of like you are like in New York, and we have the special discounts. Like when we are in ports, all the shops are closed, of course. But at night or when we are at sea, all the time they are open. So you don't feel like you are in the middle of the ocean. No, you are like in lat. You feel like at home. No.
That is, if your home includes a theater, an arcade, and a casino, among other things.
You know, Royal Caribbean, we have so much stuff to do.
Michael Rasmussen is the hotel director on the Explorer. He enjoys the Flow Rider surf simulator, basketball court, and array of restaurants and bars. He oversees the majority of the ship's 1,200 crew members. He says it's eye-opening to work with people who represent about 60 different countries.
It's like, where in the world would you sit down for dinner? And we have these big mess halls for the crew to sit down with someone from the Philippines, from India, from Croatia, from China, from Russia. We're all sitting down. We're talking about the same issues, same concerns in life, and we're growing and learning as people about different cultures. And you get a better understanding of where you sit in this thing called life. You know, you understand where you are, what your role is much, much better.
We meet people from all over the world.
Corey Freeman is a passenger on the Explorer, hanging out in one of the lounges with his wife, Patty.
Look around, it's just beautiful, natural environment. I mean, what else would be more beautiful than here?
The Freemans go on two cruises each year, one in May and one in September. This is their first time on the Explorer. It's the biggest ship they've ever been on. And Patty says there have been some challenges because of that. She says they got special tickets which were supposed to help them avoid long lines, but that promise hasn't played out.
Loyal Cruise emailed us, we don't have to wait for line. What is this?
The ship is so big that even our tour guide gets lost showing us around.
Is this a U-turn?
And we aren't the only ones. We run into some passengers who are also lost.
We really need help getting our excursion. We're supposed to be there.
The excursion is with us?
Yes.
To find a way off the ship, we end up walking through a less luxurious area, the crew deck.
Thank you.
Skagway Tourism Director Cody Jennings was part of the tour group.
It's pretty stunning. I mean, the casino, the ice skating rink, the theaters, all the various dining and other entertainment options. Yeah, it's a little floating city.
A city with a population about five times the size of Skagway's. The Explorer will be back at the railroad dock every Monday until the end of the summer. You can view pictures of the Explorer of the Seas at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.